Well, good morning, everybody. I'm glad you came up from the children's message. Well, today we put out our hands and say, welcome home. Can you gently put out your hands so that we don't hit the person next to us? Okay. And whenever you come here in this church, I pray that that's the picture that you get of God. God's saying you're home when you're here, here in our home church. Well, when we think about our home, each one of us has a home, right? That's the place where we live. And what are some things that tell you and remind you that you're home? Well, probably the people in the place where you call home, right? You know what we call those people? What do we call them? Mom? Dad? Right? Maybe grandma or grandpa? Right? We call them home. We know that we're home when we see them. And I have a home too. You know that I don't live here at church with the pastors. You knew that, right? Big shock, I'm sure, right? Yeah, so we have our own home. We live with the people just like you have, like with moms and dads and other kids. But you know what? I brought you some things today to help to show you what reminds me of home. I have a picture right when I come in my house, and this is a picture of my daughter. She just got married here at St. Paul's this summer. I have a picture of all of my kids. They're all married. And even though they don't live at home anymore, this reminds me I'm home when I see pictures like this. Do you have pictures on the wall? I bet you do, absolutely. And here's another thing that reminds me that I'm home. And I bet you have something like this. What's this? It's a pillow, right? Yeah, no trick question here, it's a pillow. And this is my pillow. And nobody here can borrow it. Yeah, you have a pillow at home that's your pillow and you know that you're home, right? But you know what? I also have a home where I live and I get to sleep and I get to eat, but it's not a Holiday Inn. I don't just get to sit there, just get to be there. I have chores to do too, and this is my chore. When I see this, I know that I'm home. Because, what's this? A vacuum cleaner. Yeah, you know what that is, right? And Mrs. Alehoffen gives me a very important job to do. I get to be the vacuum cleaner of the house. Do you have chores you have to do? Well, yeah. Mom, Dad tells you to clean your room, pick up your toys. We all have jobs to do when we're home. Well, in the Bible, in the sermon that I'm about to preach, in Hebrews chapter 2, God says that He's designed the church to be a home, and that when we're home, we're brothers and sisters in God's family. That means we're related to Him, but it also means that we're related to each other, because Jesus died on the cross to make us part of His family, so that not only do we have forgiveness now when we come together and we say, God, you're so great, thank you for forgiving when I mess up and when I blow it, you know, He forgives me and He forgives you because of Jesus. But we're looking forward to that final home called heaven. But you know what? Here at St. Paul's, all of us have jobs to do. All of us have things that we can help with. And we have people that help serve the donuts. Do you like the donuts? Yeah, we got plenty of people who like to eat donuts. We just need a few more people to serve the donuts. But you know what? We have people that are volunteering every week to advance the slides and to sing in choirs. And someday you're going to be doing those things too, because we need your help to serve God here in this place. I pray that each week when you come to church, you picture God saying, welcome home. Let's pray to God right now. God, thank you for bringing us home, home where we can worship. Help us keep coming to this place. Help us feel comfortable where we hear that we have a new relationship with you and other people, that we're in the family of God as brothers and sisters of Jesus. Help us serve you each week faithfully. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God's word today for our sermon is recorded for us in the New Testament book of Hebrews, reading from chapter 2, beginning at verse 9. In our reading, we hear God telling each one of us, welcome home. Home is where our brother Jesus is, and He promises to be. Home is where our fellow Christian brothers and sisters are right now. Hear why I say that in these words. The Bible says, but we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So God is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly I will sing your praises. And again I will put my trust in him. And again he says, here am I, and the children God has given me. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. This is God's word, we pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. In the saving name of the triune God who loves us and has freed us by his blood, dear brothers and sisters and God's family, welcome home. Welcome home to your home church or your home away from home church, but welcome home. Does this place called St. Paul's Lutheran Church feel like home to you? As I look at your faces, I can just see some of you wanting to say, absolutely, this place feels like home. I know the people in this place love me, and I love them, and they give me God's truth here. Absolutely, this is my home church. Well, this week, I joined about 20 people. We called about 300 families to invite them to be welcomed home here in this service, and I talked to some people who felt the same way. They felt like they were home here, and they were glad for the invitation. I also talked to one lady and said, home? St. Paul's doesn't feel like my home church. It never has. Well, it's true. There are some Christians, hurting Christians, who feel alienated from their church family. And maybe we might have a few people like that. Maybe it's even you. And to you, I say, I'm sorry. That's not what we intend here at St. Paul's. If you feel that way, I need you to remind you of a couple of things. God is here, and he loves you. But his people are here too, and we care about you too. If you're hurting, please don't stay hurt and stay away from church. Instead, I pray that you come and talk privately with me or one of the other ministers this week. We'll listen and we want to help. But for now, if you're here and listening to this service right now, I want to assure you of something. You're in the right place. Keep hearing God's word. Despite the devil's constant efforts to stop you, I invite you to leave your past hurts at the foot of the cross and be healed by God's powerful word. Today, as we study the words of Hebrews chapter 2 together, I pray that you get it. I pray that you get this beautiful message that God has for each one of us. As God says, welcome home. Home is where our brother Jesus promises to be. Home is where our brothers and sisters are. In Hebrews chapter 2, our sermon reading, we're told something remarkable, something big, something that should blow us away every time we hear it. The Almighty God of the universe is our brother, Jesus. Scripture promises us that. Well, why do I say that? Well, let's review Jesus' identity. And the writer to the Hebrews, he had just reviewed the fact that Jesus is God. He said that in chapter 1 in the following verses. He said in verse 2, "He that is Jesus is the heir of all things." God owns all things. Jesus owns all things. Jesus is God. God is Jesus. Make sense? Well, that does make your mind blow, but that's what the Bible says. In verse 3, it says, "He is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being." I know that seems kind of complicated, but it's simpler if you remember. If you want to know what God the Father looks like and acts like, just look and listen to God the Son, that is Jesus. Verse 6, "Let all God's angels worship him." We only worship God, and that's why we worship Jesus. All these verses and many more prove that Jesus is truly God. And to think that this Jesus counts himself a member of our own family, that should make your mind blow. But look at it this way. One of my favorite quirky Christmas movies is Christmas Vacation, that stars Chevy Chase as Clark Griswold. Ever see that movie before? Well, in Christmas Vacation, we're introduced to Clark's down-and-out, quirky cousin Eddie and his raggedy kids who lived in a Winnebago. That sure was a motley crew who came to visit. You know, they say you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. Yet, consider this and apply that, what I'm comparison, in a much greater spiritual way. Jesus, think about who he is and think about we are. For all of our foibles, all of our flaws, all of our sins, it's amazing when you watch that movie about how Clark always stood by his cousin Eddie. He showed loyalty. But the truth is that Jesus shows even more loyalty, that he not only stands with us, that he considers us part of his family. That's amazing. And in our opening verses of chapter 2, Jesus tells us exactly what he did to make us part of his family. It says that Jesus was made a little lower than the angels for a little while. You know what that's called, that Jesus did by becoming human? Jesus is 100% God, 100% man, God-man. You know what that's called? Dumpster diving. Have you ever been dumpster diving before? Sadly, I have. Back in high school, I wore one of those old-fashioned retainers on my mouth to help me keep my teeth straight. And I had to take it out every time I ate. I remember my father reminding me how valuable that retainer was. And he looked at me and he said, "Don't lose it." I remember being back in high school watching a Friday night football game. You probably do the same thing today. And I remember taking my retainer out. I remember like it was yesterday. And anyway, we went to McDonald's with my friends. I put the retainer out. After the meal, we took our food trays along with the wrappers and threw it away in one of those big industrial size waste baskets, and we started for home. I remember being in the parking lot when terror hit me. On my tray and in the waste basket was my retainer. I had to go dumpster diving. I had to sort through all of those half-eaten Big Macs and slimy wrappers. I know, gross, right? But think about what Jesus did for us by going dumpster diving. He left the pristine perfection of heaven to come to this earth, this sinful, stinking earth, all to save us from our sins. He had to sort through the grime of this earth to look for you and to look for me to rescue us. And he did this for a purpose. Well, Hebrews chapter 2 says, to bring many sons and daughters to glory. So Jesus did this to rescue us, to bring us to glory? Now, what does that mean? When I think about what that means, I also think about what Jesus did, what no one else could do. By his death on the cross, he earned clean forgiveness for each one of us that we crave, so that we might bask in Jesus' glory. Basking in Jesus' glory, that reminds me of a movie interview that I saw with movie actor Kevin Bacon, who's been in about a billion movies. I saw an interview with him talking to his son as his son watched his iconic movie Footloose for the very first time. And the boy asked his dad about it. He said, "Dad, you know, when you were swinging from the rafters of the building, how'd you do that?" Kevin admitted to his son, "Well, I didn't actually do that. That was a stuntman." "What's a stuntman?" the boy asked. "Oh, a stuntman is somebody who dresses in my clothes and does the things I can't do." "Oh," said the boy, looking a little puzzled. And he said, "You know that part in the movie when you swung on the bar and you landed perfectly on your feet? How'd you do that?" "Oh, that was a gymnastics double." "What's a gymnastics double?" "Oh, that's a guy who looks like me and does the things I can't do." Well, finally, the boy thought for a moment and said, "Dad, what did you actually do in the movie?" Kevin Bacon smiled and said, "I got all the glory." In a much greater way, isn't that what Jesus did for us? Jesus is the one who didn't swing from the rafters. He's the one who was willing to die on the cross to earn forgiveness for every time I've messed up and every time you've blown it. Jesus alone made us right with God, and he gives us more than the passing glory of a Hollywood movie, which, by the way, means very little in eternity. He gives us salvation. He gives us the promise that we are going to heaven one day, all but what he did. But verse 11 of our sermon text is the real bombshell of the sermon. This is what it says: "Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters." You know, some people are ashamed of their family members. Are you? Oh, maybe you have the kind of dad that constantly embarrasses you, or your mom's a mess. Maybe you have a brother or sister or cousin who's at a brush with the law, and you'd rather that people not know that you're related to them. You might be ashamed of them that you're even related. If there was ever anyone who should be ashamed of who he's related to, that should be Jesus. I mean, for all of our sinful pasts, and we all have them, he should have disowned us a long time ago. Were we he, that's what we would have done. But he is not we. He is the one who made us perfect and holy in God's sight, and he is proud to call you and me his brother and sister, his family. And he that is Jesus is right here, right now. As surely as you can see me standing in the pulpit right now, Jesus, the Savior, our brother, is here right now. He's as close as the person that you're sitting right next to. He's right here, and what is he doing? Well, it says right in our reading, "I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly, I will sing your praises." My, isn't that interesting? When you and I are singing today, singing our hymns, don't think you're all alone and just you're the one who's doing it. Jesus is right here singing God's praises, and no wonder we love to come home here to St. Paul's. We love to come home and worship God, but Jesus is doing more than just worshiping God. He's giving. He's giving the forgiveness that we so desperately need as we hear God's truth of the forgiveness of our sins, and very soon he's going to give us his own body and blood in this Holy Communion. Yes, he is welcoming us. He tells us that we're going to die someday, but we don't need to be afraid. we should be free from fear. Because God says that when we close our eyes in death, we're opening them in heaven. What a beautiful truth. But he also tells us he's here to help. Help us right now, because each one of you are struggling with some temptation, great or small. But he says you don't have to struggle alone. Keep coming to this place to get the strength you need, because Jesus will help you with your struggle. Why do I say that? Well, listen to these words. He says, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Yes, Jesus helps us. No wonder, he says, welcome home. But home is not only where Jesus is, it's where our fellow brothers and sisters are. Now, think about this new relationship that we now have with our Savior. If God is our Father and Jesus is our brother, what does that make us? We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're family. You know, if we may not be related by human blood, we're related by Jesus' blood. I know not everybody is related to the Scharfs and the Schraders, but we are related by Jesus' blood, and that's how God wants us to look at each other, to care about each other as family. Now, if you were raised in a loving family, I'm sure that you look forward to always coming home. When I think about coming home, I think about going home to my childhood home. I was raised in Flint, Michigan. I remember coming home to my mom's meatloaf at night when I was in grade school. I remember having a catch with my dad before he had to run off to one of his church meetings as a pastor. Oh, I've got great memories of that. But you know, it's been about a million years since my childhood. My dad has been dead now for 3 years. But you know, every time I go home for Christmas for just a short time and I see my mom, I remember I'm home. Every time I called her earlier this week and heard her voice, it just felt like I was home. But you know what? We all have had experiences like that here at St. Paul's. We've had great experiences right here in God's house. Earlier this week, I was talking with a 30-something young man who said that when he attended his Connect group, those social small group Bible studies, he said they opened up God's Word together, they prayed, he felt closer to God than ever. But you've had those experiences, right? When you've sung a hymn right here in the sanctuary, you felt like you were home. Or when you saw a child baptized, confirmed. Maybe even you were here at a funeral here in this place. Or maybe years ago when you were at MLC or DMLC, you came to this church and you felt home. That's what God wants. He wants us to be a church family. Yes, that's why Welcome Home Weekend is so important. We have the special opportunity this weekend to repent of all the times we've blown it and to hear that we're forgiven in Christ. And God reminds us today, he's freed us from the slavery of sin so that now we can serve each other as family. We can actually be our brother's keeper and look out for each other. I pray God's Holy Spirit, as you see this new relationship with each other, it makes you think to yourself and ask these questions each week. Who is hurting? Who needs my help? How can I serve? What can I do? Armed with this new attitude, God helps us create the kind of home, the kind of Christian community that not only do we need, but the people of New Ulm need. With an extra smile, maybe introducing yourself to someone that you don't know, we can find real encouragement as we face this increasingly hostile world. Don't let the devil convince you otherwise. Sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, family. It doesn't get any more personal than that. And that's the beautiful truth that God gives us today in Hebrews chapter 2. And that's how God tells us to look at each other. You know, sometimes families get along. Sometimes it's hard. But I pray that you look at each other in this brand new way. You look at fellow members you may not even know, ministers, teachers, leaders. We're family. We're the family of God. And let me let you in on a little secret this week. You're probably not going to get a special letter welcoming you back. You're probably not going to get a phone call from someone who's going to say, hey, you're going to be there, right? Instead, I want to give you this invitation. Keep coming to God's house here at St. Paul's. Here's an open invitation, not just to see Smith, Scharf, or Alehofen. Keep coming to St. Paul's to see Jesus, to see his people, and maybe even Cousin Eddie. Amen. For our stewardship thought today, I'd like to remind you of Jesus' words in Acts chapter 20. He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Our Heavenly Father tells us throughout Scripture that the more we give his church, the more he blesses the giver. And God calls each one of us as a family member to give to him. Give the best of what we have, whether it's our church offerings, whether it's our service, whether it's our time. God tells us that he's given us everything. And when we realize how much of a difference we can make in the family of God, we also remember this truth. You can't outgive God. As one of your church leaders, every week I have a front row seat to see how generous the members of this congregation are. Yes, God is doing wonderful things through the blessings that we share with him.